Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, what's going on? It's Loud and Local. Right now I'm talking with a band called Avenue East. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, buddy.
So, yeah, let's start, go around the room, man. And first off, tell me what your name is, where you're calling from right now, and what you do in Avenue East. Alan, let's start with you, man, since you're the last to enter the Zoom virtual room.
That's me. So yeah, I'm Alan. I play bass guitar in this band called Avenue East, and I am currently chiming in my entirely untreated music room. So it's a little echoey, but here in my basement where we make it happen.
What city?
Recording.
Seattle. Seattle. Okay.
Right. Yep. Still in Seattle.
Right on. Who's next?
I'm Tyler. Lead singer, guitar from my comfy recliner in good old Fremont in Seattle.
Nice, dude. I'm over in Finney Ridge, so we're pretty much neighbors.
Hi, neighbor.
So, yeah.
Hey. You could have just done this at his studio.
Right?
Could have done this at Sully's Snow Goose.
Could have done this at the bar house.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm Jay. I play lead guitar in Avenue East, and I am in my basement here in Lake Stevens.
I'm Aaron. I play drums in Avenue East, and I'm in my extremely messy home office in Marysville.
Nice, dude. So where do you guys practice at then?
Usually we find that the Linwood has the most central location, I think, to all of us, where we're able to usually land a regular practice spot. And so that seems to be the comfortable compromise for everybody. So
awesome.
No one has to drive too far north or south to meet the other guys.
Yeah.
Occasionally in Aaron's living room.
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah, we will go up to Marysville to all get back together to practice when absolutely necessary. But that's, you know, you make sacrifices when you're in a band, and that's, right. That's just one of them.
That's right.
Full disclosure, I've been buds with Jay for quite a while. We did college radio together, and, you know, he was on the Wolf, our sister station, for quite a while. And, you know, so we've been friends for quite a while. But, you know, so your band got on the radar because of him to me. But you guys have a history before Jay. He's the newest member. Is that correct?
Almost. Jay, yeah. So the band started with just me and Tyler working for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got Jay on board when we were finally getting show ready.
Okay.
Since we were getting out of pandemic, life, the kind of the music scene, live music was happening up again. And that is when we recruited Jay just as a fill-in role for this one gig. And kind of with the secret plan that he might stick around if he likes it and things go well. And that worked out okay. And so then he tricked Aaron into joining our band when we had the exact same thing where we needed a drummer just to fill in for this one gig. And Aaron threw his hat in the ring, and we haven't let him leave since.
So yeah,
he replaced SoCal Kyle from Logic.
Robot drummer that we were using for quite a while.
Rest in peace, Kyle.
Yeah.
I still got his number though.
Oh, good.
excuse me. Jay, how did you meet Tyler and Alan?
So Alan was a potential bass possibility for Aurora's Eyes a long time ago.
Also an AE band. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's, I can't do it anymore. No other, any band I am in moving forward has to be AE.
Yep.
But it would be, he told me up front, like, you know, hey, this would just be a fill-in thing. I don't know if I commit because of this other thing. And like, that's cool. But then things didn't work out, but we stayed friends on Facebook for a long time. Never actually met in person until he hit me up. And this is like around the time for the first show I played with them. And he was like, hey, does Aurora's Eyes want to open up this show? And I was like, well, that'd be great if half the band didn't move out of the state. So one member moved down to LA. The other member went on a cross-country bicycle trip all the way from Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine. Wow. And was out for like 8 months. So I was like, well, no, I can't do anything about it. You know, I would love to, but it's not going to happen. And then he goes, do you want to fill in on guitar? And I'm like, yes, because I need to get the back on the stage.
I need to do something other than ride my bike.
Yeah. So I needed to do something. And like during the first practice, both of them were looking at me like, hey man, if you want to do more of this, like you're more than welcome to. I'm like, I think I do, you know?
Yeah.
It was
that
pretty seamlessly.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it felt like I've been playing with these guys for a long time and the vibe was cool too. So, and then Aaron, I was actually playing music with Aaron too. In the meantime, he was starting a project, which is now a band that he has as well called Find Forever. And things weren't working out at the time for that situation. And then I was like, hey, you want to come fill in on here? And he was like, yeah, I'll come fill and play drums. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was funny at the beginning when we were getting ready to practice with Jay, Tyler and I had lots, you know, back and forth. Mm-hmm. We're like, you know, like if this works out well, you know, we could ask him if he would want to do this again. But, you know, let's kind of play this by ear, do the show, see how everyone's feeling. And at like the end of that first practice, we're all just like, so we're cool continuing to just do this indefinitely. Yeah. Right. And it was everybody meshed really well, really quickly.
I have to send a special shout out to Jay, because at the beginning of the pandemic, when everything was about to go to he let me borrow some gear. And, you know, it was just like kind of it was a microphone and like a basic board. And he, you know, I had no idea how to use home recording equipment. And now I have pretty professional setup here. So he kind of, you know, kind of pushed me in that direction and let me get kind of my training wheels. So shout out to you, Jay. Thank you.
Way to go, Jay.
I just lent the gear. You did all that yourself. You know what I mean?
The amount of gear talk that this band has that doesn't include me, because I'm not a gearhead. So that does not surprise me that he got you set up with that kind of stuff.
Well, what was funny was, like, you know, at the beginning, like right before everything kind of shut down, Kevin did a Loud and Local episode at my podcast studio in Ballard.
Yeah, I remember I had like gloves on, because like
we were wearing gloves.
We were all like wearing gloves and disinfecting the air. Like, we don't know what this is, you know.
We were supposed to go into the studio and do it like in studio, and then all of a sudden, like, I get a text message saying, "So the company just put out a thing saying no guests allowed." Yeah. I'm like, "What?" Like, it was so weird. It was so interesting, like how fast everything just escalated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, so, you know, you guys were my last in-person interview for quite a while with Aurora's Eyes, rather. And it was just interesting that, you know, we've come full circle. And, you know, a couple of the guys have left, you know, gone on their trips. And now you're here with another badass band. But for Tyler and Alan specifically, was this a pandemic project?
No. So Alan and I were in a previous band called Life is Cinema. And some time had passed And I started writing some songs, reached out to Alan, mostly at first to see if he would just help me record them. Cause like I said, I am not a gear person. So I,
sure.
My iPhone was not sufficient to track demos. And that just slowly morphed into him recording parts. And then next thing you knew, it was like, okay, we're going for this. And we had demoed out a whole first LP. And then the pandemic hit. We played one acoustic show, had to have been days before the world shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the course of the next, you know, year or so, basically back and forth, hours and hours and hours worth of music. And then once the world opened back up, we're like, hey, should we actually, you know, try to be an actual band again? And that's where Jay and Aaron came in. But the original plan was just to write and see where it goes. And then the pandemic hit, and then we were going to see where it goes. And now we've got actual humans again, and
yeah,
trying to see where it goes.
Yeah, I think because a lot of bands, the timing was unfortunate where we were like just getting ready to go, and we had an album worth of songs.
Yeah, great start right there, right at the beginning. Yeah. Of the band.
Not bad.
Yeah.
And then us, along with pretty much every other band that was significantly more established than us at the time, had to kind of figure out what to do mm-hmm. with themselves during that time. And I saw a lot of really cool creative stuff come from a lot of artists that I really like. And our opportunity was we kind of wanted to do more with, the album worth of material that we already kind of laid out the outlines for and the demos for. So Tyler was continuing to write music, and we were like, well, why don't we put out just like an EP of songs that kind of go along with the themes of the stuff we've been working on, but could kind of tell its own little story. And so we took that opportunity to put our first release, the Goodnight Man EP, out during pandemic, which was actually like 90% of that album was tracked and recorded just without us ever being in the same room together. It was just done entirely remotely. Back and forth, throwing mixes and tracks each other's way until we had that and put it out. So it was cool to be able to be productive during a time that was kind of a downtime for a lot of folks and musicians who had to figure out how best to utilize the circumstances that they'd suddenly found themselves in.
Totally. And now you have this new EP, which is called East and Indigo, right?
Ace and Indigo.
I don't know why. Oh, sorry, because your name is Avenue East. Sorry, my bad. I put that, Ace and Indigo, the new EP, and the artwork, the songs. Is this a concept album?
Oh yeah. all of my basically all of my favorite bands are all concept based, and I'd never particularly got to dabble in that, and. When I started writing the LP that has yet to make it out into the world, that was kind of the basis of the story. And then the first EP was a character spinoff that was fun to write, and Ace and Indigo are characters in the story as well. So the EPs each kind of get the background on some of the characters in the story, which as more and more comes out, there's, storylines and characters and themes and musical parts that kind of reappear and all that stuff, which has been really fun creatively to try to tie all that together.
That's awesome. Can you fill us in a little bit about the story, or do we have to listen to the music and no spoilers?
Definitely check out the music. The Goodnight Man EP is about the origin of the bad guy in the story, which is named Goodnight Man. And the Ace and Indigo one is kind of the origin story with the heroes of the story. So it's kind of getting them off the ground, heading into what'll be the first full length that, hint, hint, we're slowly starting to actually work on for a much later date. But so there'll be... There's planned EPs along the way that are a lot of different character building parts for the bigger story.
I think like the one sentence nutshell of the story is the realm of the dead want to take over that of the living, and they've got their leader, the bad guy, Mm-hmm. We've got our heroes, Ace and Indigo, who find themselves kind of fighting for the lives of all of mankind.
Yeah.
Wow. But I'm sure you'll be able to immediately pick up on all of that once you give it a listen.
Tyler, you mentioned that like all your favorite bands are concept bands. Like what bands are you talking about?
Oh, like my all-time favorite, Coheed and Cambria.
Yeah, I just saw them recently at Marymore. That was a great show.
Yeah, great show. Sorry, Alan. Alan couldn't make it to that one.
I got sick.
I picked up all of his merch, though.
Yeah, yeah. Tyler brought me back like $200 worth of merch that I'd buy for me.
That was a long line for merch. I was not able to wait that long. So got ice cream instead.
Also the Deer Hunter, not to be confused with Deer Hunter, but the Deer Hunter. They've been a big influence for over, you know, a whole decade plus for me. So those two are the biggest influences for me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Aaron, I haven't heard much from you. So, curious about like, you know, what brought you in? Were you friends with Jay? Were you friends with Tyler and Alan, or how did you join the band?
Yeah. So, I met Jay through a mutual friend. Actually after he passed away is when me and Jay finally actually met each other in person.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. And, I knew that Jay was in Aurora's Eyes, and, you know, I really liked their music, and I had at one point threw in an audition for bass for them and didn't quite make it. But I was starting to work on my own project and asked Jay to come play guitar, and things didn't quite go well with that.
Sure.
And then he left to go do the stuff with Avenue East. And so they did that show without a drummer with just the backing tracks. And Jay put up a post saying they're looking for a drummer, and I was like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And they just kept booking shows. So I kept showing up.
There you go.
They're just not letting him out.
Yeah.
He's sent us so many cease and desist letters of,
I have
got to stop booking me for things. And we're just like, no. We rip him up in his face each time.
Because we know that they're fake. They're written by Ron.
He's my lawyer.
But yeah, that first show, actually Aaron touched
on. Oh yeah.
Yeah, the first show that that we played kind of as music, live music was coming up. We did have a drummer lined up for that, but they circumstances, they fell through like 48 hours before that very show. And so when that first show, we were ready for it. We had pre-recorded drum tracks all loaded up on my phone.
All right, peace, SoCal Kyle.
Yep. SoCal Kyle did his job, and so yeah, we actually played without a drummer for that first show, but made the best of it, and it actually turned out really well. I do know how to mix drum tracks somewhat adequately.
So Aaron, just know that, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
No. That you're easily replaceable with SoCal Kyle.
I have no job security in this band whatsoever.
Yep.
Yeah. Just to be safe, I continue every song we write. I make sure I have a drum track on my phone so I can just, we can go just without Aaron any moment.
What was that, Aaron? You're not having a good day?
I didn't say a thing.
I got the tracks, buddy.
But the first show I played with you guys was weird because Jay wasn't there.
Mm.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were missing members left and right for a while.
Yeah. We didn't even all rehearse together for I don't know how long.
Like months.
It felt
like a long time.
The first show we played together was at Mopop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Private party.
Yeah, private party. Which
sounds like way bougier than it was bougie.
It sounds exactly as bougie as it sounds.
Was it your dad's retirement party or something, right, Jay?
Yeah.
Nice.
Like we had no business being in that nice of a place for that.
Absolutely none
in our life as a band.
Hey.
Yeah, our third show was the first time that we got any photographs with all four of us.
Nice
together.
Yeah,
that's
it
true.
Was kind of it was an ongoing joke for a while because it was whether it was a show or even just practices, it was always like someone wasn't able to make it, and so we'd only all been in the same room together. I think that one time,
yeah,
like for that first that Mopop gig. It was just comical.
Yeah.
So
look at us, we're still not even in the same room together. So
we still struggle.
Okay, so why don't we just go into one of the songs? Let's kind of, you know, get a taste of what we're talking about. We're going to go into Crash Course in the Stars, and this is from the Ace and Indigo EP, not East and Indigo, Ace and Indigo EP. It's available now. Yeah, you want to tell me a little bit about Crash Course in the Stars before we jump into it?
Sure. You got this one, Tyler.
Yep. Track one, intro track. Our two characters have been assigned as partners, and it's them, you know, running into each other for the first time out on duty, protecting Earth, protecting the living.
It's a metaphorical crashing of two worlds.
Nice.
Yeah.
The world of Ace and world of Indigo.
Exactly.
Let's go. All right, here we go. It's new music-ish something. New music to us. It's Avenue East here on Loud and Local.
Oh,
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Crash Course in the Stars here by Avenue East. They're going to be playing October 29th. I should have led with this. October 29th at Drunky Two Shoes in White Center. Get yourself some barbecue. Get yourself some local rock and roll. They're going to be playing with College Radio, Movie Night, and Vance Creek. That's like a couple days before Halloween. You guys going to dress up?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I don't know if everybody has their specific costumes picked out yet, but we have come to the consensus on what our band costume will be.
Yeah, so you, we're feeling good. Like I was gonna say, like I know it's putting a lot on you guys, but I think you gotta have a band unified costume.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. Oh yeah, we've got the theme picked out for sure.
Yeah, we're all going as Slipknot, not as like the Slipknot masks, but as the members of Slipknot look without the masks.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's a bold choice, but I think people will get it.
Nice. Okay.
Cool. We're bringing guest musicians with us too, just for that is reason, because it's only four of us. We still need five other people.
Yeah. To just hit trash cans.
To look normal while hitting trash cans.
We need a DJ. We also need a sampler. That's two separate guys.
Two more percussionists.
Two more.
Yep.
I was just going to say like Ghostbusters, but. Hey,
I think College Radio is doing that.
Yeah, I think that's like on their flyer too.
They would.
Yeah, they better deliver with that. College Radio, if you're listening,
we're calling you out.
You've set the expectations. You better follow through with this.
Why don't you guys just be College Radio?
Jay,
holy shit.
I actually did make that joke. I said we should show up dressed up like College Radio. Well, because like I was telling them, so I have a couple friends that play in Morgan Wade's band. She's a country artist, and they've been touring with a kind of a punk country band, Lucero. They were like on
a long time ago. Great.
So they were on this tour with them, and on the last night of the tour, Lucero finishes up their set, and they go backstage to take a break before their encore. And the other band, or Morgan's band, dressed up like the members of Lucero, waited only like 2 minutes. Got back on stage and started doing their encore for them.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that hard to dress up like Lucero. You just wear like flannel. You know?
Exactly. Just go to Goodwill.
Yeah, exactly.
A few things.
Right on, man. So again, October 29th at Drunky Two Shoes, definitely going to be a fun one. College Radio record release show. So I'm curious about for you guys, you know, shows are back. I went and saw some shows recently. I'm going to see Iron Maiden next week. What's the last show you guys have been to that's not one of your own? Alan, let's start with you.
Last show that wasn't one of my own. I know I've got a good answer for this. Can I pull up my Ticketmaster app and see if I can?
Tyler, or Aaron, or Jay, whoever wants to jump in first.
Slipknot.
Yeah, that was a good show. With Cypress Hill. That was a good show.
Yep. And I think Tyler and I are both going to Maiden next week too.
Nice.
Yep, I'll be there.
Yeah.
There you go. Frickin' Maiden and Trivium. That'll be a good one.
Oh yeah. Can't wait. My last show was actually The Deer Hunter, played at Neptune just a few weeks ago.
Cool.
Yeah, my last show was supposed to be that Coheed and Cambria one, but I got sick. That was the first concert I had to sit out sick, I think I've ever in my life. And I get sick like once a year. So that's some spectacularly bad timing.
Was it the COVID?
The one nighter.
It wasn't even COVID. And yeah, I think it was just the good old fashioned flu making its
old school.
Right. Just like, I'm still here.
Don't forget about me, bitch.
Aaron, what about you, man? What was the last show you went to that wasn't one of your own?
I really hate to admit it, but I think the last show that I went to was pre-pandemic, and that was Alexis on Fire.
Okay. Well, they have a new album out.
I know. Yeah.
New one's good.
Yeah. I was at that one with the Distillers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So three of us were there. We didn't even know each other.
Nope.
That's the funny part.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That was a really good one. And I think that was the day after Me Without You and Thrice, if I remember correctly.
I think you're right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was at that one.
That was like 2.5 years ago. And it also feels like yesterday.
Right.
It also feels like 100 years ago.
So I was curious, you guys were talking about, you know, you're working on this material for the new album. Is this all done? Is the music done and you just had to record it? Or are you guys continuing to kind of like shape it and evolve the music, or is it done?
Both. So it's actually the first set of songs that me and Alan had worked on in 2019. It feels like an eternity. These are actually circling back. You know, Jay's asking about parts that were written a while ago. Hey, what did you play here? And I'm like, I hope I wrote that down or have a video somewhere to figure out what I did. But,
yes, it's
still. It's revisiting the first batch of songs, the oldest group of songs that have existed with this project.
Mm. Yeah, so we still have all the demos of it, and so it still kind of keeps the same bones, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But now we've got other band members that we want to make sure are incorporated into it, and so we're still messing with it. We're still adding new tracks, getting a real drummer in there, and so it's both our oldest and our newest material in that sense.
It's pretty interesting, like, especially for like me and Aaron coming in, when you like get used to listening to the demos too. And then all of a sudden Alan will like email us after we've recorded our parts and he's done like a first rough mix or something like that into it. And it almost feels like a completely different song to some degree, but mm-hmm. not too far from it. And it's pretty cool because like, for me, it was a challenge because I've always been in bands where I'm principally writing, you know, and I'm always doing a lot of the leading on there or anything like that. But to start learning stuff or creating stuff based off of things that are already there, or just in general, just learning by ear, was something that I never really had to do until now. And it's pretty cool to like start using some new muscles and working with them and just keep building the arsenal as the artist and just trying to do whatever is best to complement the story that is being created already, that's already there, you know, and not stray or divert from what it's already going towards, but also just help emphasize it.
Nice. That's awesome. Right on. Well, you know, it must be kind of nice. Yeah. Like you said, to kind of stretch these different, you know, kind of, you know, muscles and learn a new technique and a new way to do it. So makes you stronger as a musician and as an artist. And, you know, I'm sure that they appreciate someone coming in with fresh new ideas. So.
Yeah. He's an exponentially better guitarist than I am. So
that helps. That
is crazy because it's like, I'm listening to some of these things like Tyler's written and I'm just like, it's stuff that I never really even thought about. So it's like, okay, so how the f- did he play this, you know? Or and like the fun thing was like on Ace and Indigo, there was like he had tapes, like he filmed himself playing it in case of a future guitar player,
yeah,
you know, coming in. And he did most of that for these songs that we're doing right now, but there's a couple of them that don't have them, and so I'm going in completely blind. And that is almost more fun than trying to watch a video from like 3 years ago or 2 years ago and seeing like, okay, how am I doing this? You know?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So.
Wow.
But it's really exciting stuff. I'm really excited about a bunch of the songs. I'm really excited for people to get more into the story, more listeners listening into it and following along with the story. And it's just kick-ass music.
So once everything's worked on and you guys are ready to record, who are you going to record with? Is one of you going to record it, or are you guys going to go to a studio? What's the...
So far, we've had a bit of a hybrid model where everything we've released thus far has been entirely self-produced by us. And so usually starts with tracks from Tyler that get sent over to me. And then I add my bass parts. I do a mix on it. And then we incorporate everybody else's parts as the song goes. And yeah, basically everybody's records either at their own spot, or, you know, Jay will go over to Aaron's and they'll do a few songs together. And then I do the mix of everything and send it out, and we can just continue to work on it until we are finally happy with the final end product. So there's no budgetary constraints with studio time that we're having to rent out. Although that's never necessarily been off the table, but it's provided us with a lot of really good opportunities and a lot of really good freedoms that we wouldn't be able to have otherwise.
That's great. You guys have the skills to do that.
You can spend as much time as you want without having to waste so much money on it either. That's the big thing. It's like, you know, back in the day, like all these massive records that came out, they spent tons of money on being creative, because you're renting all that studio time, you're renting all that gear, you're basically paying those engineers and everything to be there for months sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, bands don't have that when they are renting studio time or working with producers and such. That's why you see some bands, like, they're cranking out records in a week, you know, or two weeks. So for us to be able to do what we can do is a blessing. To the fact that we can spend as much time as we need to making sure this sounds right to us and we are happy with it, rather than trying to rush in and be like, oh, this will do.
Yep.
So, because that's the last thing I think any of us would want, is to be settling on something.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's great. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, hearing this new stuff. You know, your EP is excellent. You know, when Jay sent me the record, you know, I'll always listen to anything he sends me. But, you know, sometimes you're just like, all right, what if I don't like my friend's band? You know, what just getting ready. What? I don't know. Okay. And then it's actually awesome. And I'm like, dude, I remember sending you like an email, like, what the dude, this is super good. Like, this is really fucking good. Like,
you said, like, this is ear candy.
Yeah.
And
this is
what I've always told you, though. You may be my friend, but I'm never going to send you music like in a weird way of like using that friendship as a, you know, an easy in. I'm always going to, I always send you music the same way that any local band does. And I go through the same proper channels, because I only find that is fair, you know, and just because of the fact, like, what if you think my band sucks? You know, it's like, you know, that's,
I'll be like, oh, thanks for the email, Jay. See you later.
Art is subjective. Yeah, exactly. Art is subjective. You know, you could be like, oh, this is really cool. And just tell me, oh yeah, this is really cool. But really, you're like, this thing stinks, you know?
But no, for real though.
My favorite compliment to get from friends when they hear music is when they say things like, oh, that actually sounded like a real song.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
what do you mean? It is a real song. What do you mean it sounds like a real song?
My favorite compliment was at the Mopop thing. So So after we played, they started this buffet line for food.
Yum. My mom, you guys were the opening band for the buffet. That's sick.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. So we're standing in line and my mom looks at me and she goes, your guys' songs are very beautiful. And I said, Tyler's standing right next to me. I said, cool, you should thank this guy right here.
That's amazing.
It's literally the only band I've ever been in she's really liked.
That's awesome.
We like to classify ourselves as mom rock. So
that's yeah. true. Oh, you know what would be awesome? Moms. When you get your new record and you're like packaging it and you have like a little like quote on the front, like with a sticker, it'll say, "These songs are really beautiful, Jay's mom."
That's like yep. our buddy Trevor Jostad there, Kevin.
Yeah,
he wrote a review and labeled us as it's like Star Wars but emo.
Oh, okay, Star Wars but emo Star Wars. I like it.
That, yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah,
I don't know if I've ever had a better compliment in my life than emo Star Wars. So
yeah, I was thinking like we've been joking around that's a shirt.
It's like Star Wars, but emo. I like it. Or like Darth Vader with the emo swoop. There you go.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Again, October 29th at Drunky Two Shoes in White Center with College Radio, Movie Night in Vance Creek. New music to come, but we're going to be jamming these ones for a while. We got Luck As It May. Who wants to end? Oh, you know what? Jay, you're the old radio guy. So here what we're going to do. I'm going to shut up. And you got to do your cheesiest radio intro.
Yeah, I gotta set up for this one. Hold on here.
All right, you gotta intro this in the cheesiest morning zoo radio voice.
All right there, folks, we're gonna fill this out with Luck As It May by Avenue East.
A loud and local. There you go. Good job, dude. Right on. Here it is, Luck As It May. It's loud and local.
Who would have thought?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.